and he's going to score Bristol's third try.
What a great play
by Augustin Pichot.
And Bristol have made a bit of history winning the European Challenge Cup for the first time ever.
And Bristol have won.
You're listening to Bears Beyond the Gate, a Bristol Bears podcast made by fans for fans. With 2.5 season card holders at Ashton Gate, we love the club, the game and all things Bears. This week, we unpick the miserable and disappointing home defeat against Sale. Yet again, we huff and puff, but get 0 points. Mystic Meg might have been blindsided by Pat's selection of two hookers in the pack, but Miles had predicted three fullbacks on the pitch, only to be blindsided himself with the late omission of returning international Max Malins, who was, quote, unwell. We hope he's okay, but that makes five World Cup players still unavailable. It's hard to know where we go from here, but a trip down the road next Friday may just be the kick up the backside we need, because after defeat there is always the chance of redemption, and getting a win at the Rec is just the sort of thing that might get us going again. We hear from Bath fan Matt Price and give our own thoughts. All this and more. I'm Pete and I'm joined by Lee and Miles at the Bristol Beer Factory tap room for a cheeky craft ale and a bit of rugby banter. Well, lads, we're back at the tap room and thankfully it's not raining.
No.
And so we do apologise to some of our listeners for the heavy rain last week. Although I've got to say, a couple of people said they found it quite relaxing and sent them to sleep quicker than normal.
Well, that was before the rain came down, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, but it does, to be fair, I think we all give ourselves a clap as well, because that rain last week was biblical.
Awesome.
And it shows our dedication and possibly our desperate need for alcohol to come down here and record last week's pod. So yeah.
No, I think it was a first try at something new, and you know, we can only get better.
Yes.
And what have you got? I mean, I've got a nice tidy little I can't even remember what it is now, but it's quite nice. You boys have got a slightly
darker
brew.
We've got a bit of a darker brew called Overtime.
Overtime. It's quite nice, actually. Miles, there's a little bit of malt in it.
And can I just add, the great lads at the tap room have poured us some beers in a handle.
Mm.
Proper craft ale, you know, but old school. Yeah. Loving it.
How would you describe these glasses? Like the old school ones that have got the little glass.
Yeah, the little tankard. Kind
of, the little tankard divots.
I mean,
in.
I'm not sure what we should make of the fact that normally they give you the choice, don't they? Straight glass or handle. And they went straight for the handle as soon as they came in. I don't know whether that's something to do with
our age.
Our look. Yeah, our age and our general look. But anyway, well, boys, yes, it was a very disappointing defeat. But what I thought we'd do first, like we've done in previous pods this season, is read out a few thoughts from our listeners or from our followers, actually. I did send something out on Twitter and Instagram, actually, or X, I should say. And yet again, we got a great number of responses.
Yeah,
I got to say, most of them quite hard hitting.
I would say you have vetted these,
these
comments.
Yeah.
I've run it through the bleep machine, and we've got it. Now, again, I'd just like to say thanks to everybody who's done it. I can't read everybody's out, otherwise this pod would go on for about 2 hours. So I've kind of tried to get a selection again of people, so I'm trying to share it around. So anyway, I did actually send a post out right after the game, which was maybe a quite an emotional one, and I got quite a lot of emotional responses. So I think if people are interested in that, go and look at the responses. But I will read out one, and this was from Ian Parker, who's a longtime follower, and he said, I mean, I think I said things like, "Oh, it was a, you know, come on, it was a real pay," blah blah blah, and he said, "Can't disagree with that in any way. I am guilty and seriously need to stay away from my social media during and straight after a game. Too much emotion involved. I'll try and be better moving forward." So he's very honest there. But then again, the rest that I'm going to read out were responses to something I sent out today, when I think everyone had a chance to have a night's sleep or whatever and have a bit of reflection. So this is from this is the Franklins, at BT Frankland. He said, "Sit in the south stand and every week all of the action is at the other end, which is empty. Sale always a tricky side. They take so much time to be ready, not helping the flow of the game. Cues to get in ease by stewards opening gates and visual checks. Poor treatment of supporters." And then he was replied to by Sean, which is at SeanPaul66, who said, "We are also in the South Stand and never get to see any second half glory. When they opened it, it was called the Bear Pit. Surely our team would want to see them at their finest." Good point. There was a bit of a positive one, actually, from John Ellis, at John Ellis. He said, two interception tries the difference. Lane, Ibitoy, Thacker and JVR had good games. Not the time to panic. A win away at Bath would be welcome. So, you know, fair enough. Voice of reason. We've got another one from Kevin James Riley, at Kevin James Riley. Actually, somebody I do know quite well. And I know he's a follower of what we do. And I actually saw him. He was sitting right in front of us. So, Kevin, I'm sorry I didn't come and say hello. But I did see you today. But he said, I'm afraid it's recruitment, selection and coaching. Once you go full Eddie, you're in trouble. Thacker is not a back row and it showed. And we all know we need more grunt. Players are committed, but the game plan was hopeless. Sale smashed us in the close contact. Mm. So pretty direct from Kevin there. And then we've got...
Route one.
I mean, that was a spiral bomb from Kevin there, wasn't it? And then we've got Tom Partridge, at TA Partridge. And he said, I can get over the loss. Always going to be a tough ask against Sale. But it's the manner of the defeat that pissed me off. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not going to apologise for that. So much so that I'm seriously considering whether to bother with the wreck on Friday night. I thought most people weren't anyway, because it's so expensive to go there. But anyway, fair play to Tom, because you know, he's committed. And then got another one, new person, Chris JG, at Chris, my apologies, I'm saying Gingel, but it might be Gingel. Basic skills let us down a lot and killed our momentum in attack. So many times, passes were fired either straight at the receiving player or behind them. We also seem to run out of ideas after about two phases of attack. I should also at this point say we did have a very long and detailed reply from Marcus Watts, who I did read out last week. And A, I couldn't read it out this week because he got read out last week. And also it was really long. But if you fancy reading what Marcus said, I would encourage you to go to our tweet and get the reply, because it was a kind of well thought out but a kind of controlled rant that had a lot of good stuff.
And what I liked about that, actually, because you know, Marcus Watts is not a guy who actually flies off the handle at all. He's very balanced supporter. And I you know, a lot of what he said, he made some really good valid points and well worth a watch.
And I think we'll finish with one more. This is from Red Barney, at Red Barney. I know he's a long-time follower of us. He did quite a lot, so I'll paraphrase some of it. He kind of said, selections. He said, it is tricky to say, because if Dan Thomas, he's given me some brief initials here, and I'm struggling. DT, Dan Thomas, JH and JD are all carrying Knox with SL and CV. Out already. I should have prepped on this one, boys. Then we may have no choice. So I think someone else did mention that. It's like our selection is kind of, you know, what it is.
Itself.
Performance was same old against Sale and Saracens. They're too strong for us and we have no plan B. We always struggle against rush defence. We always have done, no plan B. And he kind of goes on about that. He mentions that again. So it is a big one. He did say the game plan, it was a good first 15 and a bit of enterprise in the last 10, albeit with no points. But again, no plan B. He said it again. Mm. And it's not like we don't know what they're going to do. So yeah, good point there. Take the points, go for a try. There's a definite lack of clarity. He did go on about attendance. It was 16,000, allegedly. And he said it's a good attendance. You know, it's the biggest home attendance this season. But the atmosphere wasn't that good. And it's hard to generate when you're being strangled on the pitch and see no way out. And I suspect the players felt the same.
Although we are going to come on to talk about the 16,000.
I think so.
Yeah.
And then he finishes off by saying, it's too late now, but really, we still need a big lock and another seven. The back line, when all fit, should be up there with the best. And then he finishes off with a bit of coaching. He says, the trouble is, there's too many errors, lack of clear decision-making, leadership, no plan B again, and need to sort out this before relegation comes into play. So, boys, a lot of honesty there, I think.
Thanks.
I tried to balance it a little bit because, you know, there are some people that, you know, the voices of reason have said, like, let's just try and be positive about this. But Miles, I mean, you were there. You and me and were there watching the game. To be honest, the first 15, the whole setup was good. I mean, it was quite a positive start to the afternoon. Do you agree?
No, absolutely. I think it was a lovely sunny afternoon. It was set up for a perfect game of running rugby, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which we love at Ashton Gate. And it was encouraging. I thought the pack in the first sort of 15, 20 minutes were strong. There was no scrum penalties. In fact, I think there were very few for the whole game. Sinclair seemed to come on and have a little bit between his teeth and play well and scrummage well. The slightly odd nature of the pack with Thacker at seven seemed to work all right. I mean, the fact that he was throwing the line out, St Ogre at number two, was obviously delivering the power up front, seemed to work okay. And we weren't getting pushed back by what we know is a big sail pack. So, yeah, I mean, it was really encouraging. We obviously scored a try in the first half.
Something it was in the first 10 minutes.
First 10 minutes,
I know one of the curries got sent off.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I suppose we did
have an
make the most of it. And I should also, I think at this point, we should mention that it was a very nice kind of remembrance day.
Oh, quite.
Sort of thing done. It was you know, I think Chris Boyd like read out, or somebody read out a poem, and then read the poem out, and then the bugler did the last post, and then we had a 2 minute silence, and it was, and then the guys marched off to the clap.
Only you weren't there, but we had some fireworks yet again in front of the Dolmen stand. I mean, there are a few people clutching their chest. It was that loud. Bit of smoke and haze, bit like.
I mean, I do sort of feel like are moaning about the fireworks. The fair play to the club, they've overcompensated. And I can't really say that they're... Am I allowed to say they're a little bit too loud?
You're right.
A little bit too much.
Players were coming out the tunnel to almost like a dragon's breath of steam coming out the tunnel. It was a lovely afternoon for the sort of families down there. It was great.
The only thing about that is it's just a shame the game doesn't last for 15 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yes.
And this is the problem. It was... And this is why I think people felt so disappointed after the match, you know, because everything was in place. We were, you know, we thought, you know what, you know, we know exactly what Sale are going to do.
Yes, yeah.
You know, initially we got Max Malins back, we got Sinclair back, you know, we were okay. We did pretty well at Exeter. We were a bit unlucky not to get a point. We should have beaten Harlequins. We played really well against Leicester in the first half, no mistakes. If we do the basics well, you know, and run them around a bit, you know, maybe having Thacks on to run them around, you know, maybe it's going to be positive. And it was just, the problem was that from about 15 minutes on, you know, and it was just little things like we could have gone into half time ahead, but we again decided to go for the corner rather than take an easy three, and it went wrong, and so on.
I think that's the thing. I mean, I watched it on the TV, and for me, it was again, I said frustrating last week, and that's the only way I can describe this week. Is the main thing was, I did think Pat had bumped his head or something as well when the team selection came out and saw Thacker at seven. I had to do a triple take to make sure that was
correct. You got a blow to Borthwick, didn't you? Haven't seen that. Haven't been chatting.
And it was, I mean, that completely blew me away. And then obviously losing Max Malins as well before kickoff was, you know, regrettable. But then Rich Lane has been playing fullback all season, so, you know, no issues with that. But it was the frustration of we've known the way Sale play. They've not changed the way they've played for God knows how many years. And it was the frustration of we don't seem to have worked out a way to play against them.
You know, you nearly said learned.
Desperately trying to avoid that phrase. But, I mean, it's just, I think you say move them around a bit. It's like a little kick over the top and just get them, they're big, they're physical guys. Get them turning back the way towards their own try line, the way they don't want to play. And we didn't do enough of that.
I've got to say that it's just reminded me that, again, I think everything that was good about the game was the first 10 minutes. Because also, do you remember, Miles, Gabs Ibitoy did an unbelievable 50-22.
Yes.
And when that went in, I was thinking, I think we're going to do this.
It
I'm really positive.
Really did.
And you know, unfortunately, we never... But that's the sort of thing we needed to do. Put them back on their heels. Get them pushed back and dominate, you know, win the territorial game. And, you know, there was a lot of kick tennis in the first half. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but we didn't win it. I mean, it got to a point when it got a bit, everyone was like, woo-ey.
And, like,
I mean, when it was like an oral Mexican wave in the first half. And I'm not sure that's the sort of thing people go to see too much of.
Well, we've been talking about bums on seats. I know across the board attendances are way down, aren't they, this season? And I know we could, you know, probably come back, and World Cup players now coming back, big time players. Attendances may rise slightly, but I think we've got to take into consideration that's not the type of rugby that fans will go, that will not bring bums to seats, just at Ashton Gate or anywhere across the board. And I think, you know, we've got to be very careful here that, you know, we've got a really brilliant, solid fan base, and we don't want to be starting to lose these people, or people thinking, do you know what, I'll give it a miss this week, because you know full well that can be a continual pattern of, you know, not going to a game. And we need to get our tactics back into shape again, but we need to start playing some of that, at least mixing it up a little bit.
Yeah. And let's just do a quick compare and contrast to last week. We knew, remember down at Sandy Park, we knew what we were going down there for.
Yeah.
And then Sheedy and Lane link up and do three amazing cross kicks and scores. We know that Sale are going to choke us, aren't they? And there's no way through their running line. Mm. There never has been with Sale. And it's odd. And I understand that opportunities arise at different points. But should that not have been the same tactic? You're not going to get through Sale's line. You're right. Why didn't we try something different? Chip over the top, crossfield kick, just try.
Yeah.
And it's funny, isn't it? It's weird that we lost, sadly, our captain about 30, 31 minutes for HIA, who didn't return. And then the decision-making from there on in for the rest of the game seemed to be void.
Well, that was the biggest thing. I thought you could see that we didn't seem to have a leader on the pitch after Fitz Harden left. And that is worrying. That's really worrying.
I just want to go back to the rush defence thing because as you say, it's a really frustrating thing to watch as a fan. And, you know, you can moan, you think, well, they might be offside. Mm. And, you know, but that's, I don't blame Sale for doing it. But, you know, and we talk about chips over the top. But to me, this is where you've got, it's linked, forwards and backs are linked together. Mm. To me, what you've got to do, you've got to get, the reason why they were so good in the rush defence is that they weren't necessarily committing all of their forwards to the breakdown. So they were flooding the midfield. And to be fair, you know, we were trying, JVT was trying to break the line. But, you know, the interception try says it all, is that we were so choked that we were throwing difficult passes. Mm-hmm. So to me, it seems like this is the problem, is that how are you going to stop that? What you've got to do is you've got to suck in their big boys away from that area. And you do that by having your own big lads that punch around the fringes and get a bit of go forward. But you don't do it individually so they get isolated. You do it with little pods of people driving through. So eventually they're thinking, you know what, we're going to have to go in and resource the breakdown because... And then when you pick your moment, when there's a few holes in the defence or they've left a prop out there in the centre, then you spin it out. Then you get it to JVR, who gets half a yard and pops it to Vaca Tower. And then we break that space. Now, you know, I hate to say this, but watching Bath against Gloucester on Friday night, that's exactly what Finn Russell was able to do. He did one beautiful little move where they popped it back inside to a Jomo and he gave a little dummy and it was a rush defence, but they found a hole in it. And we just never, you know, kicking over is one thing. But it seems to me that it's not just about our backs. It was quite easy to blame our backs to say, oh, you know, shouldn't have thrown that pass, shouldn't have done this. But they were under pressure all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is the worry. And then on the back of that, we didn't pick the biggest, strongest pack we could have done. We went with a risky strategy. And Ogre, I know, has played flanker in the past, but at the end of the day, he's not a flanker fully fledged. He's a hooker and a flanker. And Thacker's not a flanker, he's a hooker. And we had Dan Thomas on the bench, who we know will give 100% and get stuck in. So this is the frustrating thing. And I'm no rugby gnaws, but I do at least think about it, and I just wonder, why have we never, ever found a way of sorting Sale out?
And one thing I've got to say, we've got to stop using the word gnaws.
I know.
Because coming from Withywood, that has a totally different meaning. But getting back...
And we've got to stop using the word allude. There's quite a few words we've got to stop using.
Yes.
Allude.
Yes.
Although I do think we should have an illusion corner. Yeah. Which would be quite good. And we should finish the pod with a list of caveats. But anyway,
That was the bizarre thing for me. I just thought it was very, very, very risky of Pat Lam's selection. So, again... It just felt like we didn't choose the right players from the off, and we've got got to think as well, Ogri has been, he's not played for ages, he's been injured.
Mm.
So to throw him into that game, and to throw Thacker on at flanker, when we've got the, well, in my opinion, the best, one of the best flankers in the Premiership in Dan Thomas, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
And is that, the question I'd ask is that kind of Pat self-doubting himself, or is that just did they all sit around the coaching team and say, look, I'll tell you what we do. This is how we beat Sal. Because, I mean, they know a lot more about rugby than the three of us put together. But it just seemed very high risk.
It didn't work, did it?
It was high risk.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's too much of a gamble. I know, and you're right. They've forgotten more than we know about rugby. But the fact of the matter is, I know maths. And I know when we haven't got a bonus point, a losing bonus point, yeah. and we have lost by a ridiculous amount of points at home.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Because, so it didn't work. Whatever the plan was, whatever the game plan was, it didn't work. And it didn't work at Exeter, and it didn't work against Harlequins because we should have won that game as well. And of course, this is why we do this podcast, because we respond to what we see and as paying customers and what we feel and we kind of try and come up with a few solutions, but we try and we also try and enjoy ourselves, because I love going to live sport. I love walking down the gate. I was just quite excited when I got up on Saturday morning. I thought, I personally, because I don't play rugby on a Saturday, obviously, like the idea of going down 2:30, nice lunchtime beer. And I just felt so annoyed when I was walking home afterwards, because it wasn't as if, you know, it wasn't as if I felt as though we were going to score at all, even in the last 20, the last quarter.
No.
I think they scored their try on 65 or 68 or something. And we had still, I was sitting there thinking, we've still got 12 minutes. We still do this.
Yeah.
One converted try, and then we've got the losing bonus.
Well, we had
and
Bradbury
then one more.
Drop the ball, didn't we?
I know. I don't blame him for that. But the annoying thing about that is that we was quite clearly told that we've been working on the basics in the long pre-season, because that's what we were doing wrong last year. We were working on the fundamentals. And the first half of the first game against the Tigers, we didn't make one mistake. It was it was brilliant. And then the next game, likewise. But again, this on Saturday, some of the fundamentals, as someone pointed out, not passing it into a player's hand, passing it too low, passing it too high. There was a couple of moments where there was one in the first half where one of our wingers made half a break, but he clearly was going to get smashed up. And he went for a ridiculous, like, no-look offload off the ground. Where a little grubber, just 2 yards into their dead ball area. The best the best they could have expected would have been a goal line dropout. But we then lost the ball, and they went all the way up the other end.
But we think, we only conceded 8 penalties, right? But it almost feels to me like we concentrate on one thing too much, and then we cock up some.
Yeah, because the set piece was the scrum was good. You know, the line out was pretty good. It wasn't great. It wasn't perfect, but it was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was the breakdown. It was the kind of go forward this week. You know, and I think we fronted up against Sale. I mean, Exeter last week pretty well. And I mean, although we were disappointed about not getting a losing bonus point, I think we all felt it was a pretty.
Yeah.
That's a good warm up for Sale. That's a good, and we're coming home.
Yeah.
You know what? What worries me is I don't think that Ashton Gate is a fortress.
No,
and I don't know whether it's ever going to be a fortress because it's a great place. It's a great stadium for sport, but it is a football stadium, isn't it? I always felt guilty because in the second half I thought if this was like Bristol City or something, there'll be boys in the corner in that safe seating who will be chanting, will be getting the team going. And I know that the team have said because Pat said, we talked about how the players can get the fans going. And it is difficult. And if they're under, but we also do have a role. But I just thought, I can't do it. I bristled a few times and it just seemed a bit, it was difficult.
It's got to be a two-sided situation. I mean, the players have got to produce on the pitch to get the fans up.
Yeah.
And vice versa. I mean, at the beginning of a game, the fans are always, we've always got that optimism, haven't we? But that could be diffused quite easily with the play on the pitch.
And let's be fair, you know, the South Stand is where you get the biggest concentration of fans. And when we don't have any, like when they point out, like there's no possession in front of the South Stand, it's all in the Atio.
Yeah.
It is quite difficult to for the rest of the crowd to get, because you're not getting a kind of a steer from, and you know, and it's almost like we should plan our game plan so that we're playing in like all the time. Yeah, we should be, you know, when we are playing towards the South Stand, we should be always. That is like when we have to be in their half all the time just to get the crowd going. Anyway, maybe that's a bit ridiculous, but you know, why not? It's something. Boys, there's a couple of other things. We will finish with a couple of positives. We've mentioned a couple, but I think there was. I just wanted to say one thing at the end. But a couple of other things. I don't know whether we want to. Okay, without naming names, do we feel we've rushed some players back too quickly when we had kind of ready-made person who's now been on the bench the last few. I mean, what I'm saying is, I saw Vakatawa after the game, actually, and I said, right, man, I said, you know, unlucky, blah, 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 and I didn't know what he'd really understand what I was talking about. And I had a picture taken with him, but I should have been honest and said, mate, that was a bit. But there was one moment in the second half where he was right out on the wing, just on his own, like in front of us in the Dolman. He was just on this halfway line. There was some sort of slow ruck happening that we weren't getting any quick ball. We were kind of going backwards. And I was thinking, what's he doing here? Yeah. And that is clearly either he didn't know what he was doing, or it was a kind of one of these process things where he's told to be there. Yeah. But I was thinking, I don't see what purpose he's doing out here because he's not the quickest. He's not necessarily, are they going to do a crossfield kick to him? And I saw him, I was watching him. And as it kind of all slowed down, I just saw him sort of trudge slowly back to the centre.
But you're not maximising his attributes, are you?
No.
You know, it's just absolutely pointless to have a player of that quality in that position at that moment in time.
And I don't think this is necessarily true, but I do worry that, you know, sometimes are we selecting names rather than the proper. I've never ever.
I'm going to name a name.
Yeah.
Because we've not heard anything about him.
Yeah.
Chris Fuller.
Yeah, we don't know where he is.
Because if there's a player that we're missing in that team,
we really miss him.
One of the glue players.
Yeah.
It's him.
Well, quite. I mean, we've alluded to, we know the fact, I think Stevie Liwatu has potentially damaged his calf and is on rehab, isn't he? So that's going to be a while back. We know. We met AJ Adjemiginti, didn't we? Know that he's had surgery, and that's 4+ months back, isn't it?
And that is unlucky.
And that's very unlucky.
Yeah, that's no one's
fault.
You
know, and we're stuck where we are with Callum. We did say, you know, the great game last week down at Chiefs, but this week, you know, we don't want to criticise too many players, but it was a little bit uninventive, but maybe we couldn't have been against
it was difficult for it. George Ford was able to show all his skills because
absolutely.
He had a pack in front of him that created the time and space for him. And I think, you know, Callum struggled because he didn't have any time on the ball, to be fair to him. And he wasn't able, for whatever reason, to kind of change the narrative of the game. But I don't think it was all down to him to do that. It had to be a collective effort.
That's a fair comment. But I do also feel that, you know, your fly half controls the game.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that in moments like that, Callum doesn't, for me, he doesn't control the game enough and he doesn't do it consistently enough. And I think
when we need a plan B, there isn't one with Callum, is there? I mean, disappointingly, because we love him a lot and he's, you know, a fantastic guy. That was it. We had no plan B yesterday, and you got a lead from the number 10. And George Ford did that brilliantly. He missed a few kicks ultimately, but there was no real difference in tactics when we needed it.
I do feel that you have to say, well, is that Callum per se, or is that the coach in the system,
we can only really speculate, and we just want, you know, what we want is for all the positives, as you said. We want the strengths of our undoubtedly very good players we have across the squad, but we want their strengths to be accentuated so that, you know, we don't let's be honest, boys, we don't expect to win every game.
We're not going to win every game.
And I think one of the problems we've all got, as all of us here, is we overachieved early doors in the Bears project.
We did,
and it's going to take time, and we are kind of, I think we did regress back to a kind of realistic mean, but we would expect to see, and this is what worries me more than anything, is that I don't see any progression now. We've given 2 seasons, we've kind of accepted it, and we were hoping to see a bit of progression this season. It feels like we went up, and then and Pat has always said there's no such thing as a kind of straight line to the top. It does go up and down. But it feels like we had a bit of a small up, and then we've now got on a fire. I mean, it looks a bit like, you know, I don't know what it looks like. So,
well, I do, because a few fans haven't held back this weekend, have they, really? Just saying, like, and we don't know. We were discussing, we don't know where we are. We're not quite sure where we are if it's relegation this season. Yeah. If this is the first year where last place plays top place of the playoffs, because obviously they've lost Jersey. But just looking at the games we've played now, this weekend, we are very quickly dropping down the table in a very short, truncated season.
And we've got 2 away games.
And I now feel, we didn't talk about predictions, but we are heading to almost the bottom of Bristol and Newcastle, propping up the table with the way we are playing. Facts, isn't it?
We'll come on to that, but Bath away, top of the table.
Where are you going
to win Saracens away. Probably be top of the table at the end of the season. And then we got Gloucester at home. And of course, the trouble is, we'd like to think we're going to beat Gloucester at home, but if we lose,
it's not a given, though.
It's not a given. And as people say, it's all about momentum. If our momentum continues in the wrong direction, it's going to be a big ask. And it is another Saturday afternoon game, and I worry about whether we really get the atmosphere going on a Saturday afternoon.
And the thing is, it's like, you know, we're talking like Bath away, and you think that if there's any game these boys are going to be up for, it's going to be the game at the Wreck, right? We all know that. I don't want to sound as a defeatist, but I'm almost given up on the Saris game away, because I just think it's going to be an impossible task against their top team. But I just don't. I still can't feel confident enough that we're going to go to the Wreck and perform. And that's what worries me. And Bath are having a brilliant season. And we knew they would, because the signings they've made some fantastic signings, haven't they? And our mate Tom Dabonet must be...
Dabs.
You know, Dabs must be, you know, over the moon at the moment. But, you know, I'm worried about going there. And I do feel that on the whole, I think most Bristol supporters are realistic, and I do feel already there's a lot of disillusionment kicking in already now, and I wonder, with a couple more defeats, how bad that can.
I don't want to make people feel any worse, but because I've been on my cricket calls again, I've only just come back and looked at the results. Newcastle 12, Saracens 15.
Yeah, saw that.
7 tries. Yeah, and that's away from home.
Away.
Yeah. I mean, you know. And again, this is the problem, you know, we shouldn't be games like that. We shouldn't have games like that. But anyway, right, boys, I think I feel we should finish on one positive. And I just wanted to talk about Rich Lane again. I was watching him a lot on Saturday, and the guy is a thoroughbred, I've decided, because he just looks the part. He looks, and I keep saying this, I don't think we're missing Charles Peartail given the output that Rich Lane does. He looks so similar to him. But my biggest bugbear is, like, why he still didn't... We didn't give him the left boot to try and go deep in the penalties. We didn't do that. I just don't understand why we don't give him a go. Because, again, our kicks to touch to the corner... I mean, it wasn't... You can't recall it a kick to the corner. It was a kick to the near the 22. Mm. So I really think we should big up Rich Lane and say we're really... And he's a kind of honest guy, isn't he? He's probably not on the biggest salary. He came from Bedford, but he came because he knows rugby. He's played at a level where he's honed his skills, and he is a success. I think we have to be fair play. So that is a good, you know, Absolutely. Our recruitment is good sometimes. So big up for Big Rich Lane.
Yeah. Also, I did want to mention that. I mean, Ari Thacker coming in a flanker. I mean, the guy was everywhere, all over the pitch, wasn't he? And I just feel he, again, solid professional, and I'm not knocking everyone else, but I think man for man, we pretty much got beaten, you know, against Sale. But big up to Fax, because he was everywhere, you know what I mean? And to change positions like that and to play as well as he did is full credit to him. And I am going to pick up Ogre as well,
yes,
because it was a massive,
yep,
he's had a massive gap, yep, out of the game.
He looked good. I like the look of him. You know what, boys? I mean, you can say it, but you know,
like
what
the cut of
it,
his jib?
He's a jib, yes, cutter. I really like the cut of his jib.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, apart from that, I think it was,
I think we might also, average, in dispatches, I'd like to mention Gabs Ibitoyi again, because I think, I thought he played quite well as well. He did pretty, he was thrown in at the last minute. He'd obviously been dropped because he'd had a couple of iffy performances, but I thought he showed willing, actually, and he was pretty solid under the high ball and actually showed a little bit of willing as a possibility of breaking through. So fair play to him, because that's what we want to see, is we want to see players respond,
yeah,
to adversity.
Being dropped,
and,
absolutely,
you know, he responded to it, and we really have to respond to adversity next week. Anyway, I think we'll move on, boys, shall we? And I've got it written down. I'm going to do our little interlude bit, you know, where I say, you're listening to Bears Beyond the Gate. If you like what you hear, please follow us on our social media accounts, which is X, which is Bears Beyond Gate. We've also got Facebook, Bears Beyond the Gate. We've also got a burgeoning Instagram account that is slowly gathering followers, and that is Bears Beyond, at Bears Beyond the Gate, as,
yeah,
well,
yeah.
And of course you can always email us as well, which is bearsbeyondthegate@gmail.com. but I always have to put this, wait for it boys, caveat in, is that, you know, we are workers and we don't always get time to look at it, but we try our best. And if you do like what you hear, then please give us a rating and maybe a review, and apparently if you do it on Apple it's even better. So that would be cool.
We're not sure why, but
no, but is. I think because most of the people that listen to us actually do it.
Absolutely.
It's the biggest podcast platform.
Oh, fair, yeah,
it's
fair the biggest.
And you know, Apple reviews and stuff do get other people looking at it. So okay, right, boys, we're gonna move on, because obviously we do have a game coming on Friday. We have talked about it already, that it's Bath away. So before we have a quick chat about how we think we're gonna face up to it on Friday, I did manage to get back on the old PPP horse and got in touch with a good friend of ours from the pod, a guy called Matt Price. He's a very long-term fan at Bath, and he tweets at Bath Bites, or posts at Bath Bites, and he has a lot of followers. So, you know, he's a good bloke to have on.
Yeah.
And I had a quick chat with him, and this is what he said.
My first question to you, Matt, is can you see of any way that you're going to lose next Friday night?
There's always a possibility. Always a possibility. We could have beaten Leicester. We lost. We, you know, in the last minute, one penalty, won it. Against Saints, we butchered six opportunities. So even though we're a dominant team in both games, we still managed to lose both of them. So there's always a possibility that we can lose a game.
Yeah, we don't quite know what the weather's going to be like next Friday, and I'm not sure how your pitch is holding up at the moment, given the amount of rainfall in the last few days. I mean, what do you think is the big difference this season? Obviously, you're pretty much top of the table. You're playing good rugby despite those, you know, little bits, blips that you've mentioned. I mean, what's the real difference this year for you?
It's because obviously we've not had many internationals go off to the World Cup. We had a couple, but not that many. So they've been together training for like however long, you know, the pre-season. Then we've started off, then Finn Russell got a nice little early leave from the World Cup. He literally came straight in, joined straight in and fitted in. They've just been training together as one unit, really, which is very useful. Yeah, we've had the other couple come back, which Underhill's been with the squad for a long time, so he easily slips back in. Will Stewart's come back in. Ollie Lawrence just carried on his form from last season, even though he didn't really get a fair enough crack in the World Cup. But he's just, you know, he made the world of difference last night as well.
To me, it looked like you've got a much more balanced side than you've had. And obviously you've identified some serious artillery that you've brought in. But I mean, what influences has Van Graham had on this? I mean, he strikes me as a pretty cool, calm and collective operator. But do you think he's made a real difference?
He has. He's gathered the coaching squad that he wants. You know, he's brought in Lee Blackett and a few others, sort of, and he's built his coaching squad how he wants it. I mean, even Andy Robinson, which was quite a bizarre one, but he's very much to do with the youth side of things. So yeah, he's kind of set out what he wants, and he's had phases that he wanted to do. So he wanted to put on defence before we started going for the attacking process. So like last season, our defence, okay, we were still losing games, but you could see a vast improvement, and he just basically gone stage by stage and just seems to have been, you know, built a bit of a squad, a much, as you say, much more balanced squad as well. It's, you know, instead of being, you know, have a, God knows how many number eights and, you know, hardly any other players, there are still a few positions we are a bit light in, but he's got a very solid squad, and now it seems more his squad than picking up the scraps of Stuart Hooper's squad.
Is there any glimmers of hope for us?
We do, on the odd occasion, open up a space in the centre of the pitch. Happened a couple of times last night against Gloucester. Suddenly there was a big gap. Luckily, he manages to get across most of the time. Second row is, you know, it's the only place I think that we're showing weakness within the squad at the moment, because Fergus Lee Warner's going back to Australia. So that's another position. Our line out, it can function, and then it doesn't function. It's quite strange. And our scrum is, I mean, obviously against Saints, the referee just didn't like Will Stewart as soon as he came on. And I think he basically penalised him for breathing at one stage. And so if our scrum's not operating, then like Saints did, they picked up lots of penalties off of our scrum. But if it is solid and functioning, then it can be actually quite a good weapon. So it's very much on the day sometimes.
And I guess there's always the issue of the kind of derby day type thing that you know, can influence what's going on. I mean, it's early days, but I did notice on TNT Sports on Friday the pundits and the commentators were starting to allude to the fact that it was about time that Bath didn't just compete, that they were going to be in contention for winning the Premiership or even further. I mean, do you in your heart of hearts think that is a real possibility this year for you?
I think it's time for us to compete, because the last couple of seasons we definitely haven't been competing. We've been competing to stay up if there was a relegation. But I think maybe this season I will be very happy if we hit top four. I would be very happy. Next season, big, you know, strengthen the squad, and then maybe, yes, it could be pushing for title or something like that. But again, that's two seasons away. Things can change. But you could, like, there's vast, vast improvements this season, and especially how, you know, Bath are playing, you know, getting the ball out wide, which is not really been one of our things. It's just normally been forwards trucking it through the middle. But now, you know, the backs are actually getting some ball. They're getting to run with it. You know, Will Muir's an absolute beast, and everybody can see how good, you know, of a player he is. So it's nice to see that, you know, the backs are getting to run. So there is vast improvements, and top four would be really nice, I think.
The way things are stand at the moment, if you did lose on Friday, how would you actually feel?
I would find a very small, dark room and probably rock it for about half an hour, just gently weeping. I mean, you know, we lose matches and they're, that you get upset and you get hurt, because especially if you know that they're capable of beating a team, that hurts. And again, when it's like Bristol or Gloucester, those two, Leicester, you know, it's those three games. If we lose any of those, it just hurts. And it just, you know, even when one of my children annoys me, they just run, because daddy won't be a happy camper. So it's just, it's just, you know, they're games you don't want to lose, and you know that it will hurt and it will upset you. I know people say it's just sport. I think sometimes when it comes to Derby, it's just got a little bit more than just being a sport.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good answer. And I think I appreciate you saying that. And I think that's probably a good place to leave it. So, Matt, I really appreciate you talking to you. I think one thing's for sure, there's going to be one set of supporters are going to be upset. So hopefully it won't be us. Cheers.
Well, Boyd, I've got to say, I thought Matt was quite restrained, actually, because to be fair to him, I gave him the opportunity to just like pile into us.
Which he could have done.
Which he could have done. And I think it's a measure of the man. They're not all that bad.
Yeah, but he's a nice lad, isn't he?
He's an unusual
I don't see him as a bollocks.
He's not like those Bath rugby club boys that we had on that first time. Piling in with no evidence, were they? But I thought he was quite restrained. I mean, I think he was holding back. And he did kind of say that maybe, you know, we didn't quite beat Leicester, but it was last minute, and we butchered a bit against Saints, and that was about it. That was about the only little nuggets of hope we have. Although the one hope I think we do have is that we know that the Wreck is going to be an absolute shambles of a mud bath. And I think I've written the Post article for tomorrow, and I did say that I think hopefully Pat will take the lads for a bit of training on the downs to get ready for the Wreck. And that could be our leveller. But that's about all I can think of. So I don't know. What's your thoughts on we said Saturday was a must win. I mean, this has got, it's like a must win.
Yeah. And also, I mean, it is a must win, but I think in terms of performance, I think we need to step up, and we need to have the passion, I think. It's above all else, this is, even if we do, I hate to say it, even if we do get beaten there, I think if we go down fighting and we've gone in from the first minute with the passion and playing for the shirt, then I think I'll be more than happy, even if we do get beat, that we've given a good effort. I mean, I think it's going to be a tough game, but I'm optimistic as I always am, but you know, I think that the start of that game is vitally important for us.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's not like me to be negative, is it? But as I was saying to the Duchess this afternoon, I'm really worried about going to the Wreck next Friday night. But you're right, that pitch is awful. It's rare that teams play a fantastically fast running game. It's attritional, isn't it? And you're right, I think after this weekend, you know, we're hoping we've got Genji back, haven't we? He's going to start training on Monday, but there's talk of that. Sink's back. Malin's hopefully will just find it. It was a little minor niggle pulled out last week. But you're right. I think if we go to the Wreck, a passionate team, absolute drive, and then I think a lot of Bristol Pines have paid a lot of money to go to the Wreck next Friday night.
Yeah.
The least we would expect is to come back having played a decent game and tried our best. You're right. I'm under no illusion that it's going to be flipping tough now, beating Bath. But if we at least try and are passionate about the way we play, then I think that's really all we can expect.
And I think again, you know, this is just pure amateur speculation, but I think the only thing we've got to talk about this week is they've just got to go back to basics. They've got to say, do the basics and everything else will sort itself out. So they've got to focus, and I mean, rightly, it's got to be a first 20 of no mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
No mistakes. We've got to just do proper rugby things, resource the ruck, pass the ball just in front of somebody, make the right decision. Don't go for a wild offload when it's not on.
Take the 3 points if it's on offer.
Quieten the crowd down. Because Bath fans, you know, they're going to be absolutely cock-a-hoop. They've got Finn Russell. And can I just say actually, on his as a kind of an aside, that's why the marquee player exists in the Premiership, to have people like, I thought he was brilliant against Gloucester, shush in the shed, but he backs it up with quality.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, we've got rid of both of our marquee players, and we would like tell, and people used to like have a go at us about Moneybags Bristol marquee, but we get marquee players in for the Premiership.
Yeah.
You know, like Leicester have got Pollard. You know, fair play to them for having, and you know, so look, hopefully Finn Russell have a bad day at the office, but he is a great player, and we have, you know, but we've just got, we know what he's gonna do all sorts. We've got to be so ready, because he's gonna do some little dinks, he's gonna do some little kind of sort of dummy passes or some sort of delayed passes in midfield. We've got to be on it right from the start. And the problem is, it's going to be tough because the changing rooms at the Rex are sub... I mean, there were some women.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they are. Oh, yeah, they are.
Crying, you know, yeah. I mean, they it is... So they cannot rely on... And this is my worry about the HPC. I mean, joking aside about going to the Downs, it's almost like we should... They should ring up, or get on the blower to, I don't know, Bridge Campus... And say, can the lads come down and practice getting changed? And the, oh, no, actually, that's a bit unfair, Bridget. But just go somewhere, public toilets, and get changed. Go and get changed to public toilets. Yeah. Because that's basically what it's like in the away dressing room at Bath.
And Lee at best turn up with a plate of like mouldy oranges at half time. But that's what we need, isn't it? To ground them.
And that's not being disrespectful. That's just saying that is what it is. We're going to go from the comfort of a 3G indoor training centre. To suboptimal changing rooms, running out onto a mud bath, like, you know, like when we, us boys, you know, me and you play football on the Downs, you know, you adapt accordingly, but you've got to be ready. They've got to be mentally ready for what to expect. And then we've got some new boys, Vakatawa. Is that the game? Is this the time to give him a break? Because I'm not sure playing at the Rec is a good idea. I'd pick Jimmy Williams. He's played at Artbury. He's played at all these places.
He's played on almost a racing
field,
isn't
it? It's got Jimmy Williams written all over it. It's got Rich Lane written all over it.
Agreed.
Ravuvu, give him one more week. It's got Genge written all over it because we need Genge back. It's got Sinks. We need to remind Sinks that that was the place where he played his best ever game for us.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, let's tell him, say, oh, Sinks, they've just announced the Lions. You're not in it. And then let's see what happens.
Yeah.
You may not realise. And you know what I mean? You're right, it's going to be tough. So just on that note, because I kind of went on to it randomly, what do we reckon about? Let's do a bit of a prediction of who's going to play. What do you reckon, Lee?
Well, who are we... thinking that possibly could be back. I mean, we know Genge's going to be back. Genge's going to be, and he's going to be starting, isn't he? He has to be.
I suppose we've got a dilemma of Capon, Ogre and Thacker. Because what's Capon done wrong this season?
Well, nothing.
Capon, I mean, if I was Capon, I'd be a little bit annoyed. He played the first 30 against Exeter when our scrum was okay.
Yeah.
And Pat's brought in Ogre as a scrummaging hooker. And you think, well, have we not got one?
No, I mean, I think... For me, Fax has got to start.
It's got to start at hooker.
And then potentially we've got Genge, we've got Fax, and we've got Sinks. Then I don't know. Joe Batley's worried me.
But I think this is the game that might get his mojo back.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, we all know he is one of those players that can inspire other players. I mean, we have got James Dunn as well. Again, for me, didn't do anything wrong second row.
No.
So
we got Ed Holmes as well.
We got Ed Holmes.
I'd quite like to see him because I think he's the sort of bloke that would relish.
Yeah.
Can I throw another spanner in the works?
Miles is spanner.
The problem we've got is Fitzharding now is going to be missing from HIA assessment.
Possibly.
Yeah. Well, let's just assume that for maybe a couple of weeks. So now. We are a bit light in the back row, aren't we? And then we joked a little bit about Thax playing at number seven. Well, what are we going to do this weekend if we haven't got...
Well, for me, we'll go Dan Thomas, open side, Magnus Bradbury, 8, and we'll bring in go-to man, the grafter. Heenan will come in. Because Rex's got Heenan written.
You check that. We've got Holmes and Heenan.
And then we've got Dunn either on the bench as covering for back row.
Yeah. I mean, again, you could bring Holmes into the second row and then you could play James Dunn at 6. James Dunn started at 6. So we do have options.
We do have options there. Yeah. I mean, actually, let's keep going. It's just reminding me of something.
Bradbury's got to play 8.
Full stop.
Got to play 8. Thomas has got to play 7. We've just got to play basic rugby. Players in the right positions.
Yeah.
Thomas is like, your job is to just get in everywhere. What we need to do is we need to put pressure on Finn Russell.
Yes.
And this is the thing that didn't happen on Saturday. Yeah. It just reminded me, I was going to say that, is that we never put any pressure on George Ford.
No.
And that's partly, that's what your back row do. Now, Fax was playing back row. He probably wasn't a proper seven, no offence, but a proper seven. That's his job as well.
Yeah.
Open side flanker, you shut down the halfbacks. They were, Gus Waugh had an easy game.
That's why
it was a gamble too far.
It didn't seem to make sense, you know. And Finn Russell, we have got to shut him. I want to see us coming off the line, smashing him.
Yeah.
But we have to do it together. We can't do it in, you know, and there was a few times I thought on Saturday where we weren't aligned in defence. People were rushing up and we weren't. And it's easy when people rush up, Finn Russell will like lap that up every day, do a little dink pass, and he'll wait for the hole and he'll pop it through. And you've got a Jomo, you've got Arlie Lawrence and a Jomo who are just champing at the bit.
If that happens, it'll be,
it could be carnage. Yes. It could be carnage.
Yeah.
But that's why we need Thomas at open side. We need a proper open side at open side.
Absolutely.
And we need a proper six. We need a big lad at six. We need Heenan or we need Dunn, who can do it, operate the line out, can just basically say, just get in, get involved. And then we need Bradders at seven, at eight, just making yards.
Yeah.
Oh, it's simple, actually, now I think about it.
Absolutely.
And then we've got Genji back, Sinclair, Thax. We have a scrummaging. We have either Ogre or Capon scrummaging for Cooker to come on. Well,
I think if we look at the backs then, I mean, I'm presuming Max Malin's couldn't have done anything that serious that he wouldn't start against Bath.
Yeah.
But then you've got the dilemma then. Do you play...
Who on the wing then?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I think Noah Heward has been brilliant the first few weeks. Very tame again. And I know it's down to tactics and not getting the ball enough and being starved of it, but we could go across.
I mean, you look at what they've got. They've got the horse, Will Muir, who I've got to say is good. And they got Cock and the Sea. They got big units on the wing.
So I think for that reason alone, I would keep Heward in. I mean, I think Gav is more akin to a fast pitch. That's not what we're going to get on Friday night, is it?
We got on the wing. I mean, we Jack Bates is injured. I can't. Well, I'm probably missing
Rich
someone
Lane
obvious.
Rich Lane
could play on the wing, and Malin's come in, but it depends. We don't know, do we? It depends on Malin's, isn't it? If he's starts.
And that's why when we try and make these predictions every week, we don't know what's gone on the training pitch. We don't know who's come out injured.
I don't know if you saw the Bath Gloucester game, but Santi Carreras, you know, quality player from Argentina, was playing fullback, played quite well. Took loads of great tackles, but then when Will Muir scored his try, he just sat him down big time. Mm. And he's someone we got to watch out for. Yeah. So anyway, what about halfbacks?
I think Pat will play.
I think he'll play
Sheedy and Randall.
Sheedy and Randall. But there is an argument for the team to keep it tight and is to start with, you know, Marmion Williams. It's an out there sort of combo.
Well, if Pat likes to, you know, gamble like he did on Saturday, then
Marmion's not a gamble, is he? And Williams is not a gamble at 10.
No.
He's played there in that sort of pitch.
And also, I was just going to say, is that type of pitch that he's got a long boot on him.
Mm.
And, you know, he can get us right down into the corners. Yeah. So
I mean, it's not a massive pitch, is it?
No.
You know, you're right. Get down into those greasy corners.
Well, you've got to be careful for those ones that go dead because they've got about 2 yards at the back of a dead ball area.
There at all, is there?
I don't think it will happen, but it's possible. It's possible.
I think you're right.
And then you have JVR, and then at inside centre, and you have either. I'm not sure it's a Vakatawa sort of day.
No.
You know, we got Piers O'Connor.
I can definitely see Piers O'Connor playing. It's some part of this game.
You know, he's going to be up against a Lawrence, isn't he?
Yeah.
You've got a Jomo Lawrence.
My worry about that is that I think Pat realizes the gambles that he made against Sale didn't pay off.
But you know what gamblers are like? They always have another one.
Well,
I'll just put it on and I'll be fine.
I think if it goes wrong again and it goes wrong against that particular opposition, then I think the knives are going to come out and I just don't know if he'll risk it.
Right. Well, look, lads, I think, as we always say, it'd be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah,
when the team does come out, I'll try and send out an amusing Instagram story, as is my way. So I think that's it for that. I don't know. Is there anything else anybody
there's
wants
no
to mention?
There's no women's game this week.
No,
is there,
well, there is. No, there's a women's game on Saturday.
Next Saturday.
Yeah,
first
so
game
the day
is,
after.
Yeah, first game of the league.
No, but I think we should mention it because it's 12:30 kickoff. It's been moved because they've done a big deal with TNT.
Sports.
So it's, which I think is brilliant
yes.
because I still am still like I still can't get over how good that England against New Zealand game was the other week.
Mm.
And of course, we're going to have our big, we're going to have our internationals back. Sarah Byrne, Lark Davis, Holly Aitchison.
Big trip back for New Zealand.
And you know what, boys?
Potentially, yeah.
I'm going to go. I'm going to go 12:30 next Saturday. Good. I'm going to take the girls. It's I think they've just opened the Dolman. I think it's just the Dolman that's open. And I think we need to. I've got a real interest in that. And I think we'll talk brilliant. About it next week.
Yes.
And I think we'll see and report back on what it's like. Because if the men go down the tubes, we need a backup. We might be doing a podcast next week all about the women. We need a plan B.
Yeah.
And our podcast plan B is Bears Women Beyond the Gate coming soon. Anyway, lads, I think on that positive and cheery note, I think we'll finish it there. Do you want to finish us off, Lee? Do you want to do the final flourish? Because you're always the one that reminds me what to say. What would we say to people?
We would say thank you for listening to Bears Beyond the Gate, and stay safe, and come on, Briz.